degree programs are doctrinally sound, theologically conservative, and financially affordable. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us on today. This is Brother Davis sitting in for Dr. Youngblood, and certainly we thank you for your undivided attention and support. Amen. We are talking about the subject, a man of God. Amen. A biblical man of God. What are the requirements? What does a man of God look like? What does God expect for us to be? And certainly I hope that you are being encouraged by some of the things that we've already talked about on today. 904-831-0917. That call will get you to the studio, right to our microphones, so we can entertain your questions or comments. Amen. I believe before the news break, we were talking about pursuing righteousness. Amen. This is what the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy, the man of God, to do. He said, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Now, let me tell you something. That's a mighty tall order. If you put the time, the proper amount of time, let me put it that way. If you put the proper amount of time into pursuing, and you heard me say that word pursue means to make every effort. Amen. Don't fail to pursue. Don't fail to try to obtain. In other words, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. I believe that's 5 things. With that tall of an order to fill, that means you shouldn't have time to do anything else but concentrate on the will of God. Now, all of these things are necessary to show up in your life if you're going to be a man of God. Listen, don't take it lightly. Once again, it's not a cakewalk. But know and understand, the Bible never tells you to live by your own righteousness. If you go to the book of Isaiah, and I believe that's somewhere at the end of chapter 1, it says, all of our, not some, I want to be sure you hear this, all of our righteousness is just like filthy rags. Now, if I had the time to break that down in context about the true studies behind the filthy rags, I don't think you'd be too pleased to know what that is. But if you are a Bible student, a scholar, or anyone that's attending any accredited university on today, and you have great instructors that will instruct you in the Word of God, then when you decide to go down into these studies and study that one verse, you will come to know just from that one verse, your righteousness simply will not do the job. So, when you pursue righteousness. That means in every area of your life, you got to have righteous thoughts, righteous ways, righteous actions, righteous conversation. Everything about you must be righteousness, but let me help you to understand. That righteousness is supplied to you by the Holy Ghost, by the blood shed by Jesus Christ out on Calvary's cross. God declares you righteous through faith. It's not something you have done so much to where you deserve. Even right now today, those of you who are saved, those of you who are connected to the family of God, there is nothing you have done so good that you deserve to be right where you are today. Consider that a blessing. But he's telling us in his word, if we're going to be connected to him, what does he require for us to do? So I'm speaking to the men on today. Praise God. I'm speaking to you men. If you're going to be a man of God, and especially a person that's been chosen in any position of leadership in the church or in the biblical institution, number one, you must be righteous. Now, again, not your righteousness. But if you practice long enough at a thing, you get perfect at it. We say that in the world, practice makes perfect. But you have to know what I'm getting at is that sooner or later, it won't be so complicated for you to do it right, because it'll fit you like a tailor-made suit. Everywhere you go and whatever you do, righteousness is going to show up. And this is what God expects. This is what he commands out of his people, most especially his children that are connected to his family. Amen? So, he says, pursue righteousness. And then the next thing he says, pursue godliness. Amen? Godliness means that you ought to be just like God. When people see you, they ought to be able to see God in your life. It's not about you showing anyone that you are a super saint and that you just think that you're all of that in a bag of chips. You're not that, my friend. In fact, without the Spirit of God, you are spiritually bankrupt. Make no mistake about it. So I don't want you to get caught up in pride on today and consider yourself to be more than others, because the Bible also says when a man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So don't deceive yourself. You must know and understand that God's word is right, and it's right all by itself, and it means just what it says. Have you considered that for over 2,000 years, the same word that we are reading right now have endured through all of those generations right on up to our particular day and time right now? And when God first gave it to the first man, Moses, when he gave him the Ten Commandments and the others on the top of Mount Sinai, and he brought them down to God's people, and later the Jews came up with the other commandments connected to the Ten Commandments, then we have to understand there are over 600 and something laws connected to the Ten Commandments that we should obey and do it righteously. Now, we must understand, once again, I'm not saying that we're responsible for animal sacrifice, going to the high priest, et cetera, because Christ consummated all of that when he died on the cross. But when you accept his finished work out on Calvary's cross by faith, then all of that righteousness is complete in you, and God gives you credit. He declares you as righteous. So make no mistake about it, once again, don't try to do it by your own righteousness or think yourself to be so godly that you can't sin, because all of us have the propensity to sin. We have choices to make every day. Either your choice is going to be right or it's going to be wrong. If you're making a right choice, it should be based upon the written, revealed, inspired word of God. 904-831-0917. That call to get you to the studio, right to our microphones, so we can entertain your questions or comments. Amen. We're talking about the significance, what it means to be a man of God, and what Paul recommended for Timothy, and not just Timothy, for us to do if we are going to be men of God. Amen. So he said, pursue righteousness, godliness, and then faith. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, the definition there is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Praise God. So listen, if you're doing it by faith, you can attain that same good report just like the elders. I believe we got a call on the line. Go ahead with a question or comment.
Hey, Dr. Davis, how are you today?
I am very blessed, Brother Jim. How about you?
I'm doing good. Earlier in the first half of the show, you brought up meekness is not weakness there. Can you expound on, I'm going to make a statement here. A lot of men struggle with the meek aspect there. In relation to Moses, he stood in front of Pharaoh, one of the most powerful rulers in the world, and said, let my people go, and stood in front of him not once but multiple times. And on the last time when Pharaoh spoke to him and said, the next time I see you, I'm going to kill you. And Moses, in his meekness, with the strength of God and the righteousness that was given unto him, you know, by the Lord, told Pharaoh, you have sealed the final plague. I'm just paraphrasing right now, but can you follow up a little bit more on that? Because I'm quite interested in that segment, because I, like any other men there, struggle with that fine line between being a man and showing strength, and at the same time, the meek part for the humility. It's a real struggle for a lot of men I know as well.
Okay, thank you so much, Brother Jim, for calling. But here's what we must understand once again. None of that was done by Moses' own strength. In other words, he didn't rely on the arm of flesh. And that's where most men make their greatest mistake. They think in their minds, because this is what's been projected to us by the world, that men are supposed to be macho, they're not supposed to cower, or they're not supposed to cry. You know, grown men don't cry, et cetera, et cetera. And we have to realize that if you do any of these things except cower, now let me say, I will not stand behind a coward, because God can't use coward soldiers. What we have to do is depend upon the strength of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God instilling that holy boldness. And let me tell you, that's an area in your life that can be accomplished if you give yourself over to God. Now, there's the key right there. Once again, most of us men try to do it our way. But we can't do it our way. We can't accomplish it in the way that God wants it to be accomplished. Listen, Moses probably could have went and picked up a gun or a knife or anything and tried to accomplish the freedom of his people that way. But that's not what God told him. God didn't tell him to do it by his own power and to use his own method. God gave him the method, and then he confirmed it by an oath. He said, go, and I will be with you. Listen, we people of God, we men of God, I'm speaking to you on today. All you need to know, when God sends you out to do something, he's not setting you up for failure. He's going to give you the strength, the power, and the tools to be able to get the job done with. And look at what he did with Moses. He gave Moses the strength, he gave Moses the power, and he gave him the tool, because all he had in his hand was a staff. And God began to use that staff in miraculous ways to accomplish what it was he wanted for Pharaoh to know all about him being God Almighty and being over all the gods that they worship over in Egypt. So basically, all 10 of the plagues were connected with the gods that they worship in Egypt, and God wanted to show them who he was. He said, I am that I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the Lord God Almighty, and he stood firm upon that. So that's what we need to do. Once again, meek, be meek. That's humble and lowly. When you are meek, you must understand, from the Christian standpoint, you are now putting all your trust and confidence in what God is going to accomplish through your life. Listen, that's another reason why they couldn't understand when Jesus came, why he didn't go and overthrow the Roman government and set them free. That was not the method. That was not God's prescribed order. That was not the way he wanted to get the job done. He wanted his son to come meek and lowly because he came representing him. Once again, we as men of God, people of God, children of God, men and women as well, we represent God in this world. And the things that we do for God should not be done by our strength. It's got to be done by the strength that God supplies. And listen, let me help you to understand this. The quickest way is not always the best way. We must know that we might have a way that we think to be right. But that same Bible lets me know there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You will find that in Proverbs. In other words, you're going to end up failing. You're going to end up in shipwreck when you try to do it your way because it seems right to you. So then you must trust and depend on God. Meekness is not weakness. Once again, it doesn't make you, if I can say these words, any less a man, because you humble yourself down and you take the low road. Listen, once again, there's nothing wrong with that. Because even when you look at Jesus, they took him from court to court, every kangaroo court. And every time they said something to him, the Bible said he never said a mumbling word. And then when he got to the cross, he expressed his power. When they started railing upon him and saying, if you be the Christ, come down now and save yourself and save us. He said, do you not think right now that I couldn't ask my Father and he would send me more than 12 legions? That's a lot of angels. 12 legions of angels, and they would deliver us? But that was not the way it was supposed to be done. It was supposed to be done meek and lowly. This is the way into the kingdom of God for every man. So once again, when you look at that passage about Moses and his approach, Moses didn't use his own power. Remember now, he had fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights up in the mountain, and he got to know God very well. Let me encourage you to do the same. Praise God. Every man of God needs to get to know God very well. And I guarantee you, if you get to know him very well, then you will know if he sends you to do a job, he will not pull the rug out from under your feet and leave you standing. Or can I say this like I say it a lot of times? He will not lead you down a dead-end road. That's the type of God we serve. So, Brother Jim, I hope that this answers your question, gives you, amen, some kind of maybe more encouragement to just lean and trust and depend upon God. Pray and ask God for the strength. For the strength to just trust in him.
It definitely gave me a new interpretation of what I had read there. I was just missing that little segment there that first and foremost, Moses was a man of God and following God's will, not his own. I was thinking about the personal aspect of him actually standing in front of a national leader telling him, you know, you're going to do this whether you like it or not. And wondering... in my mind's eye, they're wondering about any trepidations he might have had when he first came in front of Pharaoh. I mean, he was at the court originally, so he knew what he was against. That's just, I'm just speculatively thinking at the same time, trying to broaden my, my relationship with Christ as well. It's a daily thing. Thank you very much for, enlightening me on that.
Thank you so much, Brother Jim. But see, listen, here's another thing. That kind of courage didn't come to Moses overnight. Once again, 40 days and 40 nights alone up in the mount with God gave Moses more encouragement than he could ever use throughout his entire lifetime. That's the kind of God we serve. He will provide us with the strength and the courage more than what we need and what we can use in our entire lifetime. If we cast, Jesus said this, cast all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Careth, C-A-R-E-T-H. That means he never stops caring for you in each and every circumstance and situation that you might have to be faced with in life. Once again, let me point you over to the 12 apostles. Even after Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross and ascended back to heaven, what do you think gave them the holy boldness or the meekness or the power to be able to continue right on preaching the gospel, even though Paul and Silas were locked in jail? Many a time the disciples, the apostles, were whipped and flogged. They were treated as less than men, but they carried on. They persevered. What do you think gave them that perseverance? Why do you think they didn't pick up swords and knives and try to accomplish peace and prosperity for themselves? Because they knew that the God they served would not let them down. Let me pull up Daniel when he went in the lion's den. What do you think gave him? Now, he, just like the rest of us, to see a cat that big, and I was just looking at some on TV this morning, how big tigers and lions are. And if you had to meet one face-to-face, of course, your first response as a human, your first reaction is going to be fear. But when it comes down to trusting in God, even if it was going to cost you your life, you know that if it came down to that, if you were standing on the word of God and his principles, even if it costed you your life, when you leave this world, you're going to be with Christ or with Jesus wherever he is. Because he said when he left here, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. But you can't get there under your own power. You can't get there by your own method. You can't go about it your own way, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So all of our trust, all of our confidence, all of our cares, all of our concerns must be rooted and anchored in God, knowing that he will never fail us. When we go to the three Hebrew boys that was cast into the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar tried to get them and bow down and worship. He tried to get them to do that, but they said that they wasn't going to do it. And when he put them into the furnace, they trusted in God. They told him, even if you put us in there, we're still not going to worship. So listen, that was meekness, not weakness, but it was power under control of the Holy Spirit. He will give you the power. He will give you the strength, what you need when you face any and every situation, especially if you are taking a stand for God. He will never let you down. So what I'm trying to do is get all men of God today encouraged so much as to where you forget about yourself. Forget about what you want to do, your accomplishments. Forget about what kind of man you want to be, and get interested in the type of man that God wants you to be. And I guarantee you, when you look at the two, if you could compare the two side by side, you will see that your way of being a man misses the mark. Don't miss your moment to be what God wants you to be. Amen. 904-831-0917. That call to get you to the studio right to our microphones so we can entertain your questions or comments. Thank you so much, Brother Jim. I'm going to be praying for you and with you, amen, that God will continue to help you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you can get to where, even if it got ready to cost you your life, when you go to the Apostle Paul at the end of his journey. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. What did it take for him to do that? It took meekness. Look at all the things that Paul went through. Shipwreck, stone, even his own people gave up on him and left him behind many times. They deserted him. The Apostle Paul went through many things. We read that in Scripture. But he stuck with God. He depended upon God. He trusted in God. And even when he said, I fought a good fight, he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Looking at him and what he was going to receive when he gets over to where Jesus is, as being greater riches than what he could ever receive in this whole wide world. He even said, amen, in another portion of Scripture, all the things that I have accomplished, I count them but dung. You know what that is? That's refused. Rubbish. That I may win Christ. So these are the type of things that we must be doing as men of God, and getting back to what the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy. He said, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. All these things, once again, must be done, and it'll take you a lifetime to accomplish it in the fullness of every area of your life. So therefore, you don't have time to waste. And this is what I'm trying to encourage. Get this instilled into the hearts and minds of the men of God on today. God is still looking for a few good men today. He wants to be able to show the world what a man of God truly looks like, what God can accomplish through a life that's surrendered to him. And I believe on that note, I'm going to wrap it up in this segment, amen. Billy Graham had to say a comment before he left this world. He said, God desires to let the world see what he can do through the life of a man that's totally surrendered unto him. So will you be one of those men on today? Praise God. That's all the time we have. Amen. Once again, come back and join us again the next time as we face the issues. This is Brother David saying, Godspeed unto one and all. Praise God.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
And now, Stand on the Word with Tony Perkins.
Our word for today comes from Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom.